What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Self-Helpless. I'm Kelsey Cook.
I'm Taylor Tomlinson.
I'm Delaney Fisher.
And today we're going to be talking about the 4-hour work week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm excited about this one.
Good stuff in this book. I think it can, it applies to everybody. Everybody can work smarter, not harder in their personal lives or professional lives.
For sure.
Also, we had our 2-year anniversary recently.
Yay!
Of Self-Helpless.
So crazy. 2 years?
2 years, dude.
Our baby is 2.
Our last episode was our 2-year anniversary with the lovely Shay.
Yeah.
What, oh man.
What a dream.
I loved that episode.
Not our last, like our previous episode. It's not ending. I feel like that sounded like it was like our last episode.
Previous.
This was always meant to burn out in 2 years. You knew that.
No, yeah.
Oh man, so much has changed in 2 years.
I know.
I can't believe it's been 2 years because that means it's been like 2.5 since the three of us started collaborating.
Oh my, dude, we wanted to really quick just go in a circle and talk about like the biggest changes that have happened.
I mean, in our lives, I was
in
like a very toxic relationship and now I'm engaged.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Stupid. Like when you think about, well, when we first all started working together, I was like very actively trying to be single for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was back in that thing. And just like, that's the biggest transformation for me personally. And then, of course, our careers have gone through, you know,
all kinds many of stages. Stuff.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Biggest personal one for me is I was at my corporate job still. Mm-hmm. We used to record in the conference room at my corporate job. And now I work for myself from home, which is something that I always wanted and strived for and you know, eventually cracked that code with really the help of this podcast and you guys and all the support and all the things that we've learned. So that's probably my biggest like personal transformation.
I feel like mine, my mind goes to my career and thinking about, there were definitely some low points I was going through toward the beginning of the podcast. And now I like love the managers I have. And now I am a like nationally touring headliner like that. And before I was opening for people and it feels really cool now to be like, oh, this is awesome.
Yeah.
I get to be the person that people come see. It's pretty cool. So that's probably my biggest change, I think, from 2 years ago.
Yeah. And just the community that is growing because of the podcast is so cool to see.
Yeah.
I mean, we started with, 12 members in the Facebook group. And now it's in the thousands. And everybody's so awesome. And I don't know. I've learned so much from all of the episodes we've done with special guests and just hearing about you guys more.
Mm-hmm.
And
just all the people that write in and just tell us about their experience or, you know, drop some knowledge on us. So I feel like I feel like a completely different person than I was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, same.
I also feel like I'm more focused on being, I don't know if self-made is the right word, but just looking at what opportunities you can control and things that you can make yourself, as opposed to, I feel like 2 years ago, I was still really focused on, okay, like I need all these external people to make shit happen for me. And I think once you start just looking at what you can do for yourself, that helps a lot. So
yeah, which is a good theme for this book too. Oh yeah, 2 years ago I still had a really bad bagel habit.
And now you're a vegan.
I'm a vegan, which I still eat lots of bagels and cream cheese, but they're vegan. But yeah, my food transformation is quite interesting.
Yeah, for sure. We also, I mean, we've been talking about this a little bit, but we are doing a tour in 2020.
Yes!
Which is so exciting, and it's something that we've been talking about for a while. And we're going to be coming to the top five cities where we have the most helpsters.
Yes.
So we have, I can tell you guys right now where it stands.
Give us the data.
The top five cities are LA, New York, Chicago, Washington, D.C., and Seattle/Tacoma.
Oh, wow.
So as of now, those are the top five most densely populated helpster areas.
Yeah.
And then some ones that are kind of on the edge that are getting close are San Francisco, Oakland, San Jose, like Bay Area, Dallas, Fort Worth, Boston, Philly. So those are kind of like on the brink.
Wow.
Still disappointed in you, San Diego. Wow.
You guys, you have so much control over if we come to your city or not. Because you guys control the numbers for this. If you tell people to listen to the show, that number can spike.
Exactly.
In your area. So, oh my gosh, that's so cool.
Yeah. Wow. So we're putting it together, you guys. Keep spreading.
I said talking about things you can control.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Keep spreading the word about Self-Helpless and grow that helpster army, and we'll come to you.
Yes.
We're so excited.
Absolutely.
All right.
We kick things off with a quote.
Yes.
Do it.
Quick quotable. This is from our helpster, Chelsea. It's an Aristotle quote. It says, "We are what we repeatedly do. Excellence, then, is not an act, but a habit."
Ooh.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
You aren't excellent occasionally. You must be excellent always.
Oh, no gosh. Pressure.
Oh,
no
gosh.
Pressure.
Oh, gosh.
I know. I tend to be excellent in baby spurts.
Yeah.
And I go right back to...
Dude.
That can be a little dangerous to tell perfectionists, but I do like the idea of that, of like always trying your best.
Habits are so hard.
They are.
They're so hard to stick with.
Mm-hmm.
I have a really hard time with it. I'll do something really well for a few weeks, and then it all goes to shit once I like get really busy or stressed out. And it's like, I know... The stuff that I was doing would help with the stress, but I just don't do it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I struggle with that.
All right. Should we dive into the four-hour work week?
Let's do it.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Should we talk about Tim Ferriss, the lovely man who wrote this book?
Who also has an amazing podcast.
Yeah.
A very big podcast. If you probably know what it is, but if you don't, you should go check it out.
Is it called The Tim Ferriss Show or something? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, in 2004, Tim Ferriss worked so much that he suffered burnout and was forced to take a break. During this time off, he traveled around the world and realized that he could run a profitable business from wherever he was with minimal effort. That's pretty cool, because we've talked so much about burnout on this podcast.
Yeah.
He developed the ideas present in the four-hour work week while working 14-hour days at his sports nutrition supplement company, Brain Quicken.
Wow.
What a swing to go from 14-hour days to a 4-hour work week.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Man, burnout really pushes you into reevaluating stuff. Like
it really does.
What's that quote from one of the episodes in the past? Like, if you don't take time for your wellness, you'll be forced to take time
for your illness.
It's like eventually, like, you hit that wall and you have no choice but to change some stuff up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Your body will make you slow down.
Yeah.
Because you have to.
Right.
Yeah.
So why should we learn the practices within the 4-hour work week? Do you want to work 8 hours a day, 5 days a week until you're 70 and almost too old to enjoy your hard-earned retirement? Or would you rather just work 4 hours a week from anywhere in the world and earn as much in a month as you do currently in a year? I mean, that's a dumb question. Obviously, the second one.
That sounds like the beginning of like me getting into another pyramid scheme. I'm like, well, I want the second one. Like,
it is so true that like so many people work just to live. And they're going, okay, well, when I'm, you know, 70, I'll slow down and I'll take some time for me and I'll travel. And it's like, you travel now when you're going to bounce back quicker in your 20s and 30s. You know, wait till you're 70. Not all of us make it to 70. That's a privilege.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think this is where I think we've talked about it on a previous episode where I believe Tim Ferriss in the first part of his book was talking about how we should basically try to live like we're retired now instead of waiting. Right. So like, how can you incorporate that day to day now instead of working for 50 years straight and then maybe hopefully getting there? Which
so tough. I mean, easier said than done.
Yeah.
Because there's no guarantees.
Yeah. And again, like a lot of these tips, they might apply to you more if you're an entrepreneur or if you have a day job where there's some flexibility or something. But I think it's just all really good stuff that we can try to apply to ourselves in some manner.
Yeah. Even if at the end of this episode, you're like, oh, I can apply like 3 minutes of something they said. Yeah. Then, hey, that's 3 minutes better in your life, I suppose.
Yeah. So the new rich versus the old rich. This is a concept that Tim talks about. So the author talks about the differences between typical traditional structure of earning a living versus a new structure focused on independence and mobility. So the new rich is a subculture characterized by mobility and financial freedom. The new rich aren't limited by their work. So they might develop their own product. They're entrepreneurial. So that's the new rich. The old rich are often tied to specific locations or property. The issues with the old rich structures of earning a living causes people to defer their dreams and happiness. People who postpone life instead of living life today, they work themselves to the bone to put aside money for a far off tomorrow. Oh, that's tough when you're just like stacking away money like, okay, in 30 years, I'll benefit from this.
I'll go on that Disney cruise.
Right? I mean, that just feels like, oh man, there's no light at the end of the tunnel, or the tunnel or the light is so far away. You can really get discouraged.
Yeah.
And then the new rich have completely different goals.
Right. Different means of earning a living. They know that true wealth comes in more freedom and more time. Know that it's possible to have those things without a $1 million bank account. Flexibility and mobility are crucial to a life of luxury, and you can't have either with the standard 40-hour work week.
Hey, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I mean, I see that in some of my friends who I think are definitely still tied more to that old rich idea of like, but I have to have a retirement account and a 401k. And when I started doing comedy, they're like, but what, I mean, how are you gonna, where are you gonna get a 401k from? And I'm like, oh, I'm just not thinking about that. Like, that's not something that I'm currently worried about. And to them, I was like, what?
Yeah.
Right. And I think a lot of people still feel that way, even if they're our age.
Yeah. And also you can invest whether you're working for a corporation or not. Like you can put money away, you can invest properly. So it's things like when I was leaving my day job, the fear of like, but what about health insurance and what, you know, and I'm like, well, I'm going to try to see if Cam and I can become domestic partners, but if not, then I will have to go on like a private, like individual plan, which will be very expensive, but that will become my new biggest expense every month. So everything else will have to shift a little bit in order for me to incorporate that, but I wasn't going to let it deter me from making that move.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all possible. If you guys want to get out of that, if you're feeling that way, first step, break from the old rich pattern, define your own rules, and throw negative beliefs overboard. So number one, reject conventions of the traditional working world. Instead of toiling away in an office, increase your independent value. Reduce hours spent working either in the office or independently by establishing specific priorities and maximizing your efficiency. And Tim Ferriss describes the process of determining priorities and maximizing efficiency in these four steps: definition, elimination, automation and liberation, which you're going to get into more specifically.
It's a lot of shuns.
Yes.
Oh man, gotta love it. So definition, that means you're going to redefine retirement, define your goals, and redefine your work life. So just redefine the way you think about work in general.
Yeah.
Okay. So redefining retirement, instead of this far off retirement, this light at the end of the tunnel that you can barely see, switch to periods of intense work followed by brief mini retirements or vacations of 2 weeks to 2 months long. This is like, this is like when you had friends who went to school districts that had like year round school.
Yeah.
That always seemed so awesome to me. Mm-hmm. They'd like go to school for 2 months and they'd have 2 months off and they'd go to school for 2 months instead of like, or maybe you'd go for 2 months, so you'd be off for a month.
I never heard of that.
You never heard of that? Mm-mm. Yeah. It's some schools do it. And instead of like going for 9 months and then you have 2.5 off, right, 3 for summer, you like get to take break. I thought that sounded so awesome.
Yeah, and they're learning the same things. They're just doing it a little differently on a different schedule. That's different like schedule. The result is the same.
Yeah, just spread out differently.
Right.
Yeah, I really would love to adopt that. Kyle and I have talked about this a lot where, because I mean, the three of us, we realize not everybody is in this position, but like if you do work for yourself or you're working towards that, like if you have the ability to take time off when you want or you have a more flexible schedule, we should totally be doing this.
Yeah.
Like how amazing would that be? And how when I just think about how productive I would be for a month straight, like I could really grind for a month if I knew that I had a month of nothing coming.
Right.
Definitely. Right. I agree.
The other side though, it's tough. Like when you're working for yourself, it's hard to just not work all the time.
True.
Right. And sometimes it can be easier if you have like a boss in like a 9-to-5 situation, we're like, okay, you have to go home now, or you know, it's just kind of easier to follow those rules if you're not the one setting them for yourself.
Right. Yeah,
so that can be really challenging.
How many sick days? I've never had a real job. How many sick days do you get a year? Like 2 weeks?
I think at my previous job was like, 10 sick days. We got like 2 weeks paid vacation, another 2 weeks paid during the holidays. We had several personal days, and we also had random, you know, like bereavement days or jury duty or stuff like that. Mm. But that's really good.
I was going to say, that sounds generous to me.
That's actually better than what most people get. I think standard, it's like 14 days paid vacation. I don't even know if it's paid a lot of time, but usually. And then a handful of sick days.
Yeah, that's what my job in Seattle was.
Yeah. So I was in a much better place than the average person with that. So it's tough. I mean, that is
tough because you got to save some for actual sick days. You can't just like divvy up 20 days.
Or it's like you run out of sick days and you call out sick, you don't get paid for the day. So you're just taking an unpaid sick day. So it's just.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to really. And, you know, not everybody's, again, working in jobs where I was talking to Kyle about this the other night because he used to work in accounting and he really hated it. And he was like, you were just staring at the clock all day because you had to be there from this time to this time. You got paid the same no matter how much you got done. A lot of it didn't take as long as you had to do it.
Yeah.
And so to be in a position where we're fortunate enough to like, we can decide when we're going to work and how much we're going to work. And like, if we call out sick, then you know, we're the only ones who are affected most of the time. It's not that big of a deal. But so I do want to just acknowledge people who don't have that ease. But this book is kind of more speaking to people who want to be entrepreneurs, who want to work for themselves, and how to maximize that efficiency and work towards that.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
And also, if you're able to set up something with your current job, you know, if you are in like the 8 to 5 or 9 to 5 structure, there's often ways where you can start slowly working from home and showing your boss that you're capable at home. And so there are ways. And I think we'll be getting into this coming up here.
Yeah, I had a roommate a couple years ago who worked in like, I forget what she did, IT or something. And she started working from home more. And she's like, I get just as much done here. Like, because with the internet and with computers,
yeah,
you don't need to be in an office necessarily anymore. So, yeah, Delaney's absolutely right. Especially if you've been at a job for a while and you do a great job.
Yeah.
Just ask.
Yeah. And that's how I transitioned out, which, you know, we'll get into. But,
yeah. So redefine retirement, redefine your goals. So do that by setting big goals. So few people dare to think big or unique. So the playing field is more sparse for those going after big dreams. I think that's interesting. I think that's true.
People
are too scared to go for it. So if you decide to go for it, you're like, oh, but so many people are going for it. No, a lot of people are scared.
Yeah.
You're so right. I think that like the freeway to your dream is probably a little bit more open than you would think. There's not as much traffic on that on that road. Even with us who, I mean, we do what we love for a living. That already, I think, is a smaller percentage of people. But even within that, there are times where I find myself being afraid to actually vocalize what I want if it's a really big dream. Because I'm like, oh, I just don't want, like, I don't want to feel stupid if I don't get it. Or who am I kidding? You know, that sort of imposter syndrome. So, yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So, and Tim does address the 9 to 5 office job thing. So if you are working in an office 9 to 5, he suggests that you rethink productivity and the 8-hour workday using the Pareto principle and Parkinson's law. So the Pareto principle, in the late 19th century, Italian economist Vilfredo Pareto, what a name, that is a pasta sauce. Pareto noticed that 80% of the land in Italy was owned by 20% of the population. So this population also owned about 80% of the country's wealth.
That's interesting.
And the Pareto principle and the 8-hour workday. So how that works together is most people spend 8 hours at work and most of this time is wasted just acting busy.
Yep.
Okay. Oh, yeah. So that's exactly what I was talking about with Kyle's accounting job. Most people, you're there all day, but you don't need to be there all day. So you just got to busy yourself. I mean, even working in like food service, which is the only real hard labor I've ever done. A lot of it was just like, what else can I clean again?
Yeah.
Like you don't really.
Dude, I would go into work and get the bulk of my stuff done in like 2.5 hours. And then the rest of the day was just like answering phone calls that could have been automated with an operator, you know? And I'm just like, what is happening here? And now working from home, it's like, I will knock out my work in a few hours. And then the rest of the day I can do other stuff and it still adds up to the same amount of money.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Which has got to be so frustrating. So thinking back on all that time, you're like, oh my God, I could have been doing this all the time. Parkinson's law says that the more time you have to complete a task, the more time you'll spend on it. Oh,
so true.
God, that is so true.
That's so true.
Oh my God, that hits home. That's crazy. Yeah. I mean, my dad used to say when I was in school, he was like, I was like, I'm just so busy, I'm so overwhelmed. He's like, it's better for you to be busy because you'll be more efficient. Like, because you'll only have, you know, 90 minutes to write this essay and you're like, oh, I wish I had more time. It's like, it only takes you 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, focus up fast.
Yeah. Cam's doing this thing at his job that he gets like summer Fridays, which some companies do, where you work half day, Friday in the summer. And interesting how everybody gets the same amount of work done in those 4 hours instead of the 8 hours of the, you know, the rest of the year. And it's like, oh, I get to leave by noon today. I got to get all this done. Okay. Bye. Yeah. Versus, oh, I have till 5 PM. So I'm just going to watch cat videos for a while until I do this stuff. It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was kind of hanging out a lot of the time.
When I started a comedy show in college, it was a weekly stand-up show and the crowd was kind of the same every week. Like it was a lot of repeat people coming. And so I had to write a new 10 minutes of material every week for like 9 months. And I would. And I mean, I'm sure was like a lot of it shit, probably. But the fact that I was in a situation that forced me to do that, and I did. Whereas now I don't have that sort of weekly pressure, and it's hard to fake that pressure and try and make myself do it, because you ultimately know if like you don't really need to have a new 10 minutes every week. But back then, I think if there's a need for you to do it, your mind figures out a way to make it happen and just like get that work done.
Yeah. And again, like these are our experiences. I know plenty of my friends who work nonstop from 8 a.m. till 5 p.m. with like no breaks.
Definitely.
So there is plenty of that out there, or, you know, 12, 15, 16 hour days too. We're just saying, you know, sometimes I feel like for the average person, this might be true. Like,
yeah,
you might
depending
not
on the
be
job.
Working every minute of those 8 hours.
Yeah. So the new rich prioritize the 20% of tasks that will yield 80% of results, and then complete these tasks in as little time as possible. Okay. Whoa. So you can take these 5 steps to decrease your time in the office. Number one, increase your value to the company. Number two, prove increased output when working remotely. So work from home, like we said. Yep. Number three, quantify the business benefit. 4, propose a trial period. And 5, expand the time you work remotely. It's a lot of working remotely.
So it's like, hey, you go in, hey, I'm doing this, and this. Can I work from home one day a week and see how it goes, right? Mm-hmm. And then you prove to them, oh, they're getting a lot done over there. Things are fine. I don't really notice a difference. Okay. Then maybe after a month or so, hey, do you mind if I do 2 times a week at home? And then you kind of see if that's doable for you. And like, what's the argument against it? It's like, oh, you're this, you know, the same productivity. You know, a lot of my friends have actually done this after like having a kid or something. Like, oh, can I try this? And it works out. So it doesn't hurt to ask.
Yeah. And what's the worst thing you can be told? No.
No. Things stay the same.
Exactly.
But then you never know going forward, looking for different jobs where that might be a possibility. So something to definitely consider. So the next process is elimination. Save time by going on an information diet and eliminate interruptions. Oh, this can be so hard.
I know.
Social media.
I was like, ooh, I'm excited to hear this.
Yeah, that sentence made me want to check my Instagram.
All right, so here we go. So narrow things down to the important tasks. Ask yourself, would I be happy if this task ends up being the only one I complete today? Don't engage with time wasters, such as unnecessary meetings. Instead of email, start with the most important tasks first thing in the morning. Try to have the most important tasks for the day done by lunch. We've kind of talked about how like by 3 p.m. you're basically half asleep. I don't know what episode that came out in, but do the first, kind of the things that you're avoiding first. The rest of the day becomes kind of a piece of cake. Number two, being productive entails self-discipline and controlling your environment. So the information diet concept, basically practice selective ignorance and only consume information that pertains to your work or well-being. I'll be honest. I'm pretty decent at this during the day, but
are you?
In the evening, I just like watch all kinds of crazy TV, but the things that I listen to as far as podcasts or this, they're always pertaining to something I'm trying to work on in my personal life or my professional life.
Yeah.
And I think it's really helpful. Take a media fast. Don't read the news or surf the internet. I don't watch the news anymore. I just don't.
Oh yeah, that's hard.
I don't. I'll hear about things no matter what that are important, but all it does is depress me and makes me, you know, unproductive.
Yeah, being on social media is 100% my biggest downfall in terms of time wasted.
Yeah.
Like, and I've talked about it on here where there's times where if I really focus my energy, I can be good and put my phone down. But I know that is my biggest vice.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. And when it comes to surfing the internet, I barely know how to work the internet. So I feel like I'm pretty good on that. Like, I don't really surf much. Social media is definitely the thing that I will hang out on a little bit. Instead, have a well-informed coworker give you a 5-minute briefing on world events, which they'll do anyway, whether you ask them to or not. So there you go. Cam is the ultimate like consumer. He watches everything. He reads everything. I hear about everything through him. It's quite nice.
He's like your Alexa.
He really is. Yeah, exactly.
Cam, what's happening in the world?
Yeah. Cam, what did the president say this week? Okay. All right. Don't start your day checking your email. This can waste time. Instead, read and respond to email twice a day, once in the afternoon and once in the evening.
That's smart.
Yeah. Really?
I got into a really good habit for a while. Like I said, I'm really bad at sticking to things where I was checking email at like 10 a.m. and then I wasn't checking it until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Twice a day, that was it. And it was great because I got stuff done before And then I did the emails, and you know, some things had resolved itself by then and some didn't.
Oh.
And then at the, you know, towards the end of the day, I want to wrap up anything that I may have missed. And then that's it. The next morning I would check it at 10 a.m. It's great. It's not letting anybody else dictate how you're spending your day.
Yeah.
And it sets you up like, you know, when you first thing in the morning, if you're checking email, you are kind of in a reactive state of mind, right?
Yeah.
So
and nobody's
going to
email you if they need an answer within an hour.
Yeah, they'll call you, they'll text you, all that stuff. But again, maybe we should only be responding to text messages also like a couple times a day. So this is all, it's all really hard to incorporate, but it does work. I've tried it for spurts at a time and I'm trying to get better at it. All right. So inform your friends, family, and coworkers about this new habit by setting up an auto response explaining that you're limiting your time on email in order to be more productive and better serve them. So, for example, we have an autoresponder on Self-Helpless Podcast email. It is absolutely impossible for us to respond to everything, or our producer on, you know, on our behalf to respond to everything. We get hundreds of emails per week. But the autoresponder tells you exactly what to expect depending on what you're reaching out for. It's really helpful. Back in the day when we started, I was responding to every email and it was taking like 4 hours a day.
Yeah.
I don't know how you were doing that.
We were so new and we were just so excited to even get messages that, you know, I was eating a lot of time and getting really into it, and it wasn't productive for my health or my other work or anything.
Yeah.
So think about how you can maybe apply that tool. Okay. Genuinely urgent requests can be conveyed in person or on the phone.
Kind of like what you said, if somebody needs to reach you, they can call.
Yeah. Let small tasks accumulate on email and then deal with them all at once. Totally. It's such good advice. Like just, you know, the block scheduling or like batch your work, right? And sometimes we record 2 or 3 episodes of the podcast at a time because we know that you guys are going to be on tour and we won't be able to meet up anytime soon. It's like batch your work basically, but do it on a daily basis. All right. But wait, what is your product? Look at the market you're most familiar with and brainstorm product ideas based on your findings. So again, anybody can start a business. Now that I've done it, I know for a fact anybody can start a business. I barely know how to work my phone, you guys. And I was able to start a business. And it actually is a product-based business. Now it's kind of turned into like more service-based. But anyway, so do you have an expertise? Do you have a side passion? Can these be scaled and automated? This is your product. Test the market before you make your product. There's only one way to know if your product is successful. Ask people if they want to buy it. Use automated means of selling your product, eBay or Etsy, to see if there is interest in your product. Once you've collected enough interest, make it.
Very cool.
So again, even if you're not making things by hand, if you're an expert in something, you could build an online course and sell that. You can offer one-on-one consultations with people. There's a lot of things that you can do. And a lot of people don't think they're an expert in something, but I promise everybody is. If you've achieved a result in your life that other people have asked you about, and you know how the process worked to get there, you're an expert in it.
Yeah.
Okay. It's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I normally find bras to be so uncomfortable and constricting, but Skims has changed that. You know I love Skims underwear, so I finally tried their bras, and Skims has delivered again. Skims bras are worth the hype for the amazing shape and support they give, but what I wasn't expecting was how comfortable they are too. I've tried so many bras in the past, and the main issue that I have is that they weren't supportive enough, to the point where they felt slouchy. I love my Skims wireless form bra because it's so comfortable and supportive. The older I get, the more I care about actually being comfortable in what I wear every day. And with my wireless form bra, I no longer have to sacrifice my comfort for the support I need. Shop Skims bras at skims.com, now available in 62 sizes, 30A to 46H. Plus, get free shipping on all orders over $75. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.
All right. So the next one is automation. Decouple the time you spend working from the money you make. By establishing automated sources of income that can be maintained from anywhere in the world. So everyone involved should have the freedom to communicate independently with one another. You should give as much responsibility as possible to those you've entrusted. Don't require them to ask your approval. And then ask yourself, who should be doing the work? So number one, virtual assistants can be contracted from anywhere. That's kind of a cool thought. That
yeah.
You can, yeah.
Yep.
And if you're worried about the cost, remember that your time is money as well.
Oh, yep. Gosh.
Yep. I need to have that written out somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's true. We I forget
a,
that.
We had a talk about that this week where you're wondering if you should take a weekend. Mm-hmm. And I said, what would be more helpful?
Yeah.
The money or the time at home?
Yeah. And I ended up taking the money.
Sometimes it's the money.
Sometimes it's the money. It you know, it's very case by case. But gosh, that's so right. I get sometimes a little stingy or like fearful with financial things. I know when we were thinking about hiring a producer at first, I was like, oh, well, maybe we can just keep running ourselves into the ground for the sake of like making a little more money on our own. But you're right. By us continuing to do everything on our own, that's preventing us from making money in other ways.
Yes.
Yeah. So it. Yeah.
Yeah. When I think of like the hourly rate I charge for a one-on-one consultation, that's like, you know, that's what I'm getting paid per hour. It doesn't make sense for me to spend 4 hours cooking Cam and I meals for that day or that week or whatever. Mm-hmm. When I break it down into the hour, like I could make more money working and mm-hmm. I could pay a service to make the meals for us, or we could go pick it up and it's pre-made, stuff like that, where you think about how you can like automate your personal lives too, to just give you more time with your friends and family.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah. I think that's really important.
When I was really burnt out and trying to like work up the courage to cancel a lot of things I had committed to pretty far in advance, I used to just ask myself, okay, how much money would I spend to stay home this weekend?
Oh.
And I would just go, okay, how much money are you going to make on this college gig? And I go, okay, you're going to make this much. Would you pay that much money just to stay home instead? Yeah. And if the answer was yes, I would.
Mm. That's very cool. Also a good process of elimination. Yeah. So the last step here is liberation. After you've undergone this process and reframing of your perspective of the working world, you should be on your way to liberation. You've first defined your goals in a more short-term mind frame. You then develop habits of eliminating time waste and become more efficient with your time use. After finding your passion and testing product viability, you automated the means of production to develop a passive income. So, you know, it's... how much is your time worth? Time is the only resource none of us can ever get back.
Mm-hmm. And it's constant.
Right? Yeah. And you can make money back, right? You can accumulate more things, but your time is the most precious resource in your life.
Definitely.
So
oof.
It's quite interesting. I've had to do this in my own business now also. And I'm, you know, Kelsey and Taylor, I'm sure you guys have to do this too, where you like, if you look at like the top three things in your business that actually make you the most money, you might have to write it out. Mm-hmm. And you just pour your energy into those three things.
Mm-hmm.
And the other ones, you know, maybe somebody else can do them, or maybe you just don't do them at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, but basically what moves the needle forward in your life or in your business? Yeah. And that's kind of stuff that you have to kind of sit with yourself and write out, if it's helpful to like write out all the tasks you do on a daily basis, whether it's professional or personal related, and see what can you get rid of completely. Maybe social media, if you're just scrolling for 2 hours a day before lunch, maybe you get rid of that completely and you just have a chunk of time where you do that every day instead for 30 minutes or something. And what things can be done by other people? Can you ask somebody for help? Yeah. Can you hire somebody to clean your home if you spend 8 hours a month doing that on a Saturday? Mm-hmm. Can you ask a spouse, hey, do you mind doing the grocery shopping instead? I mean, just thinking of ways where you can kind of get back your time.
Yeah.
To do the stuff that you enjoy or the things that make you money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Time management is 100% the thing I need to work on the most. Is there something you guys feel like is your weakness in this or something that you could work on more?
Oh God, I have so many.
I feel like the idea of setting time, Delaney, you were talking about something before we started recording that I think kind of
applies. Oh yeah, this. Dude, this is so good. So my therapist recently, shout out to betterhelp.com/selfhelpless. But I've been working with her for a while now, and I just kind of told her, like, I have a lot of anxiety still because I'm a relatively new entrepreneur and I just left my corporate job in, I don't know, December. So how long has that been now?
Six months.
6 months. I'm only 6 months deep into it. And so there's just like this like dull kind of low grade, just constant anxiety. And she basically said, okay, I want you to start scheduling worry appointments for yourself. So whether it's a daily worry appointment or a weekly worry appointment, you can't go longer than 15 minutes or else it can get, you know, a little much. And this is not, she said, this is not for anybody with obsessive compulsive disorder. So don't do it if you have that. And so I've been giving myself like a daily worry appointment, usually around 3 p.m. That's when stuff kind of hits the fan for me a little bit, where I start to like, oh my God, is this going to last? Anyway. And so the first like chunk of my day I find is like relatively productive because as I start to worry, I think, oh, I can worry at 3 o'clock. So I just have to focus on this and then I can worry later. Mm-hmm. And that, it might happen 100 times throughout the day, but I have to just keep reminding myself, oh, I'm going to worry later at 3 o'clock. And then by the time 3 o'clock rolls around, I either have the appointment with myself to worry for 15 minutes and to catastrophize and be insane. But a lot of the time, by the time it's 3 o'clock, I don't need the appointment because I'm feeling so good and I'm not worried. And because I took so much action on the things that were worrying me, it has kind of relieved that anxiety. Doesn't happen every day, but that might be a tactic that somebody wants to try, whether it's weekly or monthly or daily.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
What do you think would happen if you had that appointment first thing in the morning?
Oof. I think it might have the same effect depending on the person. Like if you tend to like your worry hits you right when you wake up.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that's when you should have it at like 9 a.m. So then you got it out of the way and then the rest of your day is fine. I noticed that I feel pretty good when I wake up and my worrying happens in the afternoon. So I try to schedule it around that, but I'm also open to like trying to see what it would what would happen if it was first thing in the morning.
I usually schedule mine at 2 a.m. and then I just do it until I fall asleep. Until I've Googled everything I can. There have been a lot of earthquakes this month. You guys know about that?
No, we don't.
Well, I do. So I'm going to go buy water after this, but it's fine.
Man. I feel like it's kind of similar to like your candy drawer thing, Kels, where it's like you had the candy drawer growing up. You can go eat the candy whenever you want. Knowing it was there was really great. So like me knowing my worry appointment is there helps me not worry in presently.
Because you're giving yourself permission to.
Yeah.
You're not telling yourself you're not allowed to. Because
exactly.
Then you're going to do it more.
Yeah, you're not avoiding
and you'll
it.
Worry more effectively.
You really
and
will.
Efficiently.
Efficiently.
Yeah. Exactly. You got 15 minutes to worry. You have to set an alarm, too. You have to set an alarm. You can't freeball it.
Yeah.
you have to set an alarm.
So
funny. Yeah.
Yeah. I think me doing morning pages, that's my version of having an anxiety appointment.
Yeah.
Because
mine
is definitely the worst. My eyes open and I am flooded. That's like when it's worst for me. Everything hits me in the morning. So if I can sit down and just write it all out, then it kind of helps me purge it before I go through the rest of my day. But
interesting. I feel like if I did mine first in the morning, I would probably do my worry appointment more often than if I have it in the afternoon. Because sometimes, like I said, by the afternoon hits, I don't really want the appointment anymore.
Mm.
So I think I would actually probably worry more if it was my first thing.
Yeah, I think so too.
So I don't know. It's everybody's going to be different with this, but it might be. I've been finding it really helpful, so I recommend that little tip she gave me.
Yeah. Mm. I know that we talk about that we're all like glued to our phones too much, but I will say anytime I've used the alarm on my phone to give my day more structure, like you said, Delaney, to only do it for 15 minutes, your anxiety appointment, I can feel, I think my problem a lot of time is like, I let the morning stuff take too long.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I'm like, fuck, I have to get to this appointment or whatever. And then I'm rushing. So I've started to set an alarm for myself for each task. Like, okay, if I'm going to write morning pages, I have to do it within 20 minutes. Yeah. And I just set 20 minutes. And then when it's done, I move on. Because otherwise it's a little bit too much free form,
yes,
loosey goosey. And I've learned I can't really trust myself. I need something with a little bit more structure, like setting an alarm.
That's good. So you're basically like blocking out your day. That's what, like, setting alarms is a really good way to do it. Some people, yeah, have like a chart, you know, it just depends on what works for you. I like the alarm thing too.
Yeah.
Because for me, it's like I really have to get to the hardest task right in the morning or else it weighs on me the whole day.
Yeah.
And so I'll usually give myself like a chunk of 2 hours, like, all right, 2 hours before you can check your email, you have to just go straight to this task, and I will use an alarm for that type of thing.
Okay.
Yeah. And again, 2 hour blocks might help, or maybe it's 30 minutes on, 20 minutes off, 30 minutes on. I mean, it's just see what works for you.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Very helpful.
I have to think about.
Is anything, yeah, anything from, this book do you think that you can, that you'd like to apply to your daily routine or anything, like right off the top of your head? Can you think of anything that you might be using?
I think for writing, I need to be better about that. Because when I sit down to write, sometimes I think it's helpful to have as much time, mm-hmm, as I need. But now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, oh, if I structured it where I'm like, you have this hour to write.
Yeah. I bet it would, like, actually help.
Yeah. There's an end in sight. And I can go, okay, well, let's just like write a bunch of shit. And I only have to do it for an hour, in the same way that, like, you know, going to work out, if you only have an hour, you're like, okay, I'm going to work out really hard for an hour and I'll, yeah, be done in an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely would like to start thinking about maybe defining bigger goals for myself, just even mentally. I don't have to write it out, but just not being so afraid to even think about,
yeah,
what big goals are. And I'm so down with the passive income. I love finding ways now to have more passive income coming in. That having an album come out was the first time I've really set something up like that. I guess aside from the podcast too. Right. But the more like paths you can have of things just going directly to your bank account without you needing to do that much, it's so nice. The beauty of doing an album is like you do it once and then it's just on Sirius and Pandora and you get a check every month.
Right. That's amazing.
So setting up passive income in that way, if you guys are able to find ways to do that in your life with whatever your job is, it's, yeah, super helpful.
Yeah. Selling an ebook or selling a training of some kind or anything like that. I think a big one for me is I want to get out of the space where you're trading time for money, yeah, which is exactly what Kelsey was saying about the passive income.
Yeah.
It's like, I left corporate because I don't want to work by the hour. I don't want to be I don't want to be given an hourly rate. Yeah. I want to wrap my value up in something,
yeah,
that I can give to people. And that's why I want to, build this online course, basically. That's going to be like, okay, that'll be a different type of exchange than an hourly rate situation.
Yeah. Smarter, not harder.
Yeah. Work smarter, not harder. And that's the thing. It's like, it's going to be so much work up top, but
right,
once it's completed, then it'll kind of, you know, live in perpetuity, and I'm sure I'll be updating it along the way. But, yeah, anything that you can do in your own life to start thinking about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
All right, should we get into some segments,
yeah,
before we wrap up it, here?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, I have a hot shit, hot tip, good shit.
Yeah.
Hot shit, that's not a
I like
thing.
Hot shit.
I don't even know what that would be. hot tip, good shit. I have been having some weird hormonal stuff happening since I turned 25. If anyone has any experience with this, tell me. Just the birth control I've been on for years, I have never gotten a period, and like in the last year I've gotten a few and I'm like, what's going on? And in addition to that, I've had like some like breast sensitivity, and like I've been getting these very like deep demonic breakouts on my chin that they don't happen that often, but I've never broken out this way ever. I've always had very like surface level breakouts.
Yeah, and these have like a social security number.
Yes,
and, like,
these are,
yeah,
these like these would not move during an earthquake. These are in there. So I was like, kind of, struggling with that this week, and we were filming. So tune into What Just Happened on Fox to see my zits. Because those will be on two episodes, and some people.
I bet you can't even see them.
You can. I saw the monitors. You can see them. They look like moles covered up by a lot of makeup. Mm. But if you know that they're zits, they're zits. Because I don't have them most of the time. And so I just was feeling, I felt horrible all week. And I was posting about it on Instagram, and I got some feedback from a few different people about these like acne patches that are at just like CVS. Like when I first got sent them, I thought like, oh, I'm gonna have to order them online. But they're like these acne spot. They're these little stickers, these little round stickers. I got two different types. There's one that's like this like Korean brand or something, and then there was like a Clearasil version that was like overnight, and they go over the blemish and kind of like
suffocate it.
Yeah, they like suffocate it. Truly.
Die.
Yeah, they do. It's like putting a pillow over the face of your pimple and just watching it struggle. And in the morning, you really see a difference, and they go down a lot. And I had no idea. Weird. And the people who know about it are like, this is such a game changer. And if I had known about this as they were coming on,
yeah,
I think that would have helped a lot. Because you can feel them, you know, like anyone can see them, you're like, oh God, something wicked this way comes.
Something's brewing.
Yeah. And if I had known that, then it wouldn't have even been an issue, but I didn't. So they were just, you know, just little hobbit hills. But so if you,
it's weird because you can't even tell you're wearing
I didn't
it,
know
like,
you
barely.
Were wearing them until you told me, and I was like, oh,
and
shit.
They're like little see-through patches. Yeah, they're really not even noticeable. So, and these are weird. Bigger ones, like there are smaller ones too. So like you wear them out in public, like it's really not a big deal.
Huh.
The only thing is I'm allergic to adhesives, and so I don't know if that would work for me.
They're not super, I mean, yeah, you'd have to check.
Yeah, I just don't know what the thing is that's making them sticky. Is it like is it salicylic acid? Is it something that's an actual acne ingredient that's making it stick to it? Or is it like what's on a Band-Aid? Because then that would fuck my face up so much more.
Yeah, it doesn't. Well, I realized I was allergic to Band-Aid adhesive with the mole thing. And these are not doing anything like that. So these seem okay. But again, yeah, of course I would try it.
I could, try it.
An ankle or something.
Yeah. You know, my really clogged pores on my ankle. Always real
just
gross
see
down there.
Your skin would react.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's mine. What have you got, Kels?
My wedding is in 10 days.
Oh my God.
Is it really? Days.
From when this episode comes out, yeah.
Oh
10
my
days.
Gosh, that's insane.
It really comes out of nowhere. Like you're just feeling like, oh, I got this time. Like we're going to get the details figured out as it gets closer. And then all of a sudden you're like, holy shit. It's just, there's so many things. Even if you try and make it as simple of a wedding as possible, it's just, you're planning a party for a large number of people. Yeah. And I don't do that. I mean, that's not a day-to-day thing for me is planning a giant party. So it's a lot. It's a lot of moving pieces, but we're really excited. We have like some things planned. I think it's going to be really cool.
Yeah,
it's going to be really fun.
How many people are going to be there?
60.
Oh, that's so nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's wonderful.
Yes. You guys were making me laugh on the Facebook group, the You Helpsters, where you're like, okay, so like, how do I react when like we don't get an invitation to Taylor and Kelsey's wedding? Like, what do we do about this? Do we stalk them? Do we show up? That's, you guys are so funny.
I think a lot of people voted just assume that Delaney threw it away because she was being a minimalist or something.
So what happens when we don't get the invitation? Yeah.
So funny, dude.
You guys make me laugh.
I have a good shit. I met a helpster yesterday.
Yay! Oh, yeah.
That was so cool. I know the time is a little different because we're recording this anyway. This won't come out for a little bit. But I went to lunch with my mom and just wrapping up our food, and this lovely young woman comes up and says, are you Delaney? And I'm thinking that something has changed about the order, like maybe they don't have the risotto I wanted or something. I don't know. I thought it was like food related, right? And I'm like, yeah. Is there a dessert available?
Your mind is just like, what can I? Yeah.
And she's like, she basically said, I'm a helpster. I love the podcast. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. Aww. And I gave her a hug. And it was so It's so nice because, you know, you guys are meeting people all the time with yeah. shows and stuff. And I get to meet people through my consulting and stuff, which is really cool. But it was nice to meet somebody in person. And then she was like, that's your mom. I recognize her too.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Because of my comedy special, Love at yeah. First Cousin. She knew that was my mom. And it was just so, so cool. So that was a really fun experience, and gave her a hug and took a picture and... told her to message me. And then I have a defuck moment that I really grosses me out that I caught Cam doing recently.
Oh my God. I feel like I'm gonna throw up already.
Okay. So you guys, if you have a dog, you might know about these little Kong things. You know what the Kong toys are?
Yeah. You put peanut butter in it.
Yeah. You put peanut butter in it. Right. And they like lick it for a while and it keeps them occupied and very happy, right?
I'm really scared. I'm just so scared because you've already talked on the podcast about Cam with hygiene things. And I'm just like, I don't know what he's capable of.
A lot. This is actually going to remind me a little bit of the blender situation with Kane and the wooden spoon.
Okay.
So, so I clean the Kong like once a week, right? I'll soak it. I'll clean it, right? It doesn't get too crazy because the guy licks it clean, not Cam. I'm right, a freak. Yeah. And so, so when I fill the Kong, I take like a big scoop of peanut butter with a spoon and I let it drip into the Kong because I don't want to touch the Kong and then go back inside
I know what's coming.
So I let it drip and then I'll flip the spoon over and I'll mash it in with the other end of the spoon. There's no double dipping of any kind. I caught Cam using a knife and he was going back and forth in between the Kong and the peanut butter. Ew. And I was like, what are you doing? That is the family peanut butter. That is not what? It's like, you didn't know about it till now. Why is it a problem?
Oh my God. He didn't even go. You're right. That's gross. Yeah, he was defending himself.
Like, he's like, it's fine. It's not that gross. I'm like, that thing rolls around on the carpet. That is in Maverick's mouth. Sometimes he brings it and it touches his pee pad. What are you doing?
That is so
but he's
gross.
He's like, it's fine. Basically, you haven't gotten sick yet. So why is it a problem? And I'm like,
not even like this is the first time I've done this.
No. Like, so you've been doing this for months. Like, I just caught you. So I'm like, oh my God, Cam. Please either like do it without touching the peanut butter again, or you know what? Let's get a separate peanut butter for Maverick and a separate one for us because I am never eating this shit again.
Yeah.
Ever. So I eat a lot of peanut butter. So that was gross. You guys, stop doing that. I feel like
I feel
boys are
sick
so
to my
gross.
Boys are so. Why are you so gross?
Boys are so
gross. Why are you guys
gross?
So gross?
Kane's not gross. Kane's actually like really lovely.
But no, Kane seems very.
He's very hygienic.
You guys are very clean.
No, I don't.
You don't?
No. Kyle's disgusting.
Really?
Kyle's so gross. I love you, babe. He's not listening. But no, he's so gross. I told you when we moved in, I asked him to clean the tub after like 5 months of living there because I had been doing it.
Yeah.
And he did such a shitty job. And then he was like, that's the first time I've cleaned a tub. I'm like, oh God. His old apartment was so disgusting. Like one day I came over, we'd only been dating for a few months. And one of the days I was just like, I have to clean your kitchen. Like I just have to do it because it was so disgusting. And he's like, Taylor, just let me do it. I'm like, no, you have to let me do this now. Like it's too much.
Yeah.
I'm losing my mind. Like, and he always says, my threshold for discomfort is just a lot, you know,
higher
than yours. And I said, No. There should never be like, there's been a lot of training as we've lived together where I'm like, if you start seeing like scum in the toilet, it's time to clean the toilet. Like I had to teach him how to clean a toilet. Like I've had to teach him how to just like,
it's probably time to clean our toilet. Sorry. Yeah. Taylor just used our toilet.
No, it was
don't
great.
Judge me.
He's great about doing the dishes, but that's the only thing.
Yeah.
Like everything else you have to be kind of like spoon feeding. He's got some stuff. He's a boy. He's just a boy.
Weird. And I'm like, I know not all dudes are like that, but so many of you are.
Oh, so many.
So many of my guy friends just do not give a shit. Like, they would friggin' lick the spoon after the peanut butter situation, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, Cam, just, you know, just at least don't let me see you do it then.
Yeah.
If you're doing anything like this elsewhere in our lives, I don't know.
Yeah.
He's like, dreams are not a real thing. Like, we shouldn't be really concerned about it. I'm like,
That is so gross.
It's just gross. Yeah. It's just the idea. Even if it... doesn't ever like get me physically sick. I just can't enjoy my peanut butter sandwich now.
Guys just don't think about any of those things, like anything like Febreze after they shit. Like they just don't even think about. Kyle made like ground beef for himself the other night, which like I don't eat that, and he doesn't really that much either because he's with me. But, and I've been like, maybe don't eat red meat. Like, it's the one thing. And he was like, I'm going to make some. And I got home and the apartment smelled so fucking bad, like crazy. And I came in and he had lit like a candle or two, but I was just like, babe, are you kidding me? I thought it had gone bad. I was like, do you feel sick? Like, it smells rancid in here. And he was just like, oh, I mean, I was like, did you not notice? He's like, I mean, I opened the door for like 20 minutes. He's like, I guess because I was cooking in here, I just didn't notice as much as you. And I'm like, it's horrible. It's so bad. Like, I opened all the windows. I had like a fan on my desk. It was so gross. I felt like I was going to throw up. It was nasty.
Yeah. Cam's come a long way, but sometimes I'll catch him doing something like that. I'm like, oh.
Does he wash his hands after he poops?
Oh, God. I hope so.
Oh, you don't know that with confidence?
No, I don't. I really don't.
After
don't.
You told me that story.
He's like a woodsman. Like, I don't know, dude. Like, I...
After you told me that story.
I would pray and hope that he does most of the time, but I would not be surprised to find out that he does not. A lot of the time.
Yeah. There was once Kyle, I was like, did you wash your hands? He's like, yeah. And I was like, we're out of soap in there. And he goes, well, I rinsed them. I'm like, so you didn't.
Yeah.
What you're saying. So you lied.
But then Cam's like, I don't get sick. Have you noticed that? Like, I just don't get sick.
I hate that argument.
I hate that argument. You are infecting everybody around you. Just because you're a sewer rat doesn't mean everybody else's immune systems can handle that.
I mean, like, I don't get sick either. Like, I rarely get sick.
Yeah, but you're cleaner than him.
I know, but like, what? But I live with a dirty little man, so.
Oh my God.
I don't know. And then that, I swear, do you guys watch Adam Ruins Everything? Have you watched all those episodes?
I have watched.
Where he just destroyed the whole hygiene concept and the soap is bullshit and all this is bullshit and we actually don't need any of it.
Really?
That stuck with me. I'm like, God damn it.
Oh, I need to watch
Cam
that.
Cam was fucking right. Anyway, it just makes me feel better. Even if you don't really need it, it just makes me feel a little bit cleaner.
Definitely.
Yeah.
But historically speaking, if you watch that episode where he just like ruins soap and all of the things and it's all fluff.
Oh, man. Yeah. Okay. I got to look that up now.
Except like if you're probably like a doctor needing to kill germs before surgery. That's
important. Not bullshit.
Yeah. But like our everyday, like we don't need to be showering as frequently as we do and we don't really need to be using soap and we don't really.
Wow.
God damn it.
Can't win. You just can't win. So yeah, I live with a caveman. I love him, but yeah.
He's a caveman.
He's got some interesting habits.
All right, when does this come out?
So this comes out on Monday, July 1st. I'm going to be headlining the American Comedy Company in San Diego, July 25th through the 27th. Super excited for that. Such a great club. I'm also going to be headlining the Longview Theater and the Everett Theater up in Washington State, August 16th and 17th. I'm at like University of Indiana on August 23rd. I got a bunch of like random colleges and theaters coming up. So go to kelseycook.com for tour dates and get some tickets if you're in that area.
Nice. And I am in New York this week. If you're in New York, we'll see if I have any shows there, hopefully, the 1st through 4th. Then the 12th and 13th, I am in San Diego at the Comedy Palace. The 18th through 20th, I'm at the Des Moines Funny Bone. If you are in Dublin, Ireland, for some reason, I am at the Ivy Garden Comedy Festival, the 25th through 27th. I believe, if you're in Santa Barbara, August 2nd and 3rd, I'm going to be at Comedy Hideaway doing shows. So
nice. That's my old stomping ground.
That's your spot.
This week, Client of the Week highlight, I want to give a shout out to Mahogany, who is a very talented screenwriter that I have the pleasure of consulting. And she's going to be making a move to Los Angeles.
Oh, my gosh, so sweet.
And she's got such a great project that she's working on. It's a brilliant idea for a pilot. So really proud of her and just, keep it up. Looking forward to our next consult. And yeah, reach out to me if DelaneyFisher@gmail.com. You can email me directly if you want to know more about the kind of creative consulting that I'm offering. And right now I'm offering one-on-one services, which may or may not continue indefinitely. So
get it while you can.
Get it while you can, people.
Yeah.
If you want.
And make sure that you're subscribed to Self Helpless on iTunes. Give us a 5-star rating and review. It helps so much. Takes so little of your time. Helps us a ton. So
cool.
All right, guys. All right. See you next time.
Bye. Love you. Bye. You guys, we love you so much. Thank you for supporting Self Helpless. You can follow us on social media, on Instagram and Facebook at Self Helpless Podcast. And you can visit selfhelplesspodcast.com for all things Self Helpless. Learn about Patreon and how to sign up. Our merch is there. Information about our Facebook group and how to join. All the episodes you can listen to are on there, a little bit about the show, our individual sites are linked there, and our contact information, email, and P.O. box if you want to send us some love letters. And you can follow us individually as well. I am at Delaney Fisher on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and DelaneyFisher.com, where you can watch my docu-comedy special, Love at First Cousin, for free. And then DicksByDelaney.com if you want to buy some dick mugs.
Sweet. I'm at Kelsey Cook Comedy on Instagram, at Kelsey Cook on Twitter, KelseyCook.com for all tour dates and merch. And my album, Savor It, is still available to buy on iTunes. And you can watch Wrists of Fury, my foosball web series that has an episode of Taylor and Delaney on the All Things Comedy YouTube channel.
I am at Taylor Tomlinson on Twitter and Instagram and TTomComedy.com for my Netflix special and all live tour dates.
Sweet. We love you guys
so much.
Yeah.
Bye. Bye-bye.